You are listening to Type Radio. My name is Heather Shaw. Now we're talking.
Type Radio FM.
Now we're talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the Imagine It conference in Bologna. It's November 28, 2008, and our first guest here is Heather Shaw. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. What's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish?
Yeah.
To eat?
Yeah.
Saag paneer, which is an Indian dish, which is spinach and ricotta cheese all mixed together in this really nice sauce. It's my favorite dish.
How come?
Back in 1999, I spent 3 months in India teaching at an international school. And I'm probably the only person that went to India and got fat because I liked the food so much.
Mm. And did you teach design in India as well?
I actually taught art classes to children, but it was the impetus for me to go back to graduate school for design and get my master's and become a professor.
And have you always wanted to become a teacher in design?
I would have to say yes. I think even as an undergraduate student, I knew I wanted to teach, but I worked for 7 years professionally in an ad agency and burned myself out and went to India for 3 months to sort of reassess my life. And when I got back, I decided to apply for graduate school. And my first year out of graduate school teaching, I thought, oh, this is much harder than working in a studio. And I thought about running back around and going back to work, but I plowed through it and stuck with it. And the more you teach, the more comfortable you get with it.
And for example, when you were taught in graduate school or undergraduate, how different is it to now that when you teach students?
Oh, it's so different. I mean, even the difference just between undergraduate and graduate school is completely different. And when I was an undergrad, we had just gotten our first desktop computers. They were Mac Pluses. And you really couldn't do much on them but set type and print it off the laser printer, chop it up and position stuff around on a page and paste it down. When I went to graduate school, I studied at the Dynamic Media Institute at Massachusetts College of Art and Design. And everything we did was interactive. It was all screen-based media. And so that's where I really started to learn. I had been working in interactive at the agency for a while, but going back to graduate school really got me to understand the kinds of decisions I was making with regards to interactive and thinking about clicks and behaviors and just the complexity of working with interactive media. So now, as an educator, we really have to rethink the way we teach students because they're dealing with so much more complexity now in their lives than before. There's always going to be great projects that are going to be old standbys, you know, teaching students form through poster design or typography, ways of teaching typography, you know, like drawing and painting letter forms. But when we move up towards the junior and senior level in graphic design, we really have to think in terms of what their world is encompassing and what they'll be designing for. And especially in America, poster design, it's very hard to earn a living as a poster designer. So the students really have to think very carefully about the climate that they're going to be graduating into, more so faculty thinking about it and how we teach them and prepare them to hold jobs, essentially.
But does it necessarily mean that when you enter art school, that do you have a choice then to go, you have a choice between print and interaction, or is it now become one? There is no difference.
I think it depends on the school, and every school teaches things differently. But I know in the program that I teach at UMass Dartmouth, we are integrating more elements of interactive media and information design into our undergraduate curriculum. And some students really enjoy it, and the ones that do take it upon themselves to learn more, to get more involved with interaction design, more involved with the programming aspects of it, such as like ActionScript and Flash, or they really enjoy working with HTML and cascading style sheets. It really depends on the students, and you see this sort of separation between them, the ones that really love print design and the ones that really like interactive. And I think they just naturally gravitate towards the areas that interest them, and we encourage them to move in those directions. Especially at the senior year, second semester, they do a degree project, and their degree project can be on anything that they want to study as far as it has a relationship to design. And that's where you really start to see their passions emerge.
Are you in overall like satisfied or confident in the education system in the United States?
With regards to graphic design, mm-hmm. we have a long way to go. I think we have a really long way to go. I think.
Yeah, what would be the ideal then?
Well,
yeah.
I'm not sure I can answer that properly. I think the idea is to look at it as an emerging discipline, and we need to start teaching it not circa 1985, which I see still so many programs doing. I think faculty really have to keep themselves abreast of new technologies. As hard as it is to learn these things, we have to do it. I think we need to think in terms of how we develop assignments that deal with issues of complexity, of systems, of organizing large bodies of content and getting students to be able to creatively and clearly communicate these ideas. And it doesn't necessarily have to be all interactive. It can be through print as well. So there's many different ways of approaching print projects that deal with issues of complexity.
So it would be also educating the teachers. And always trying to keep, how do you keep yourself up to date?
Lots of failure. how do I keep myself up to date? Well, I take cues from my students and I see what they're interested in. I also, I have a lot of books. I took a processing class over the summer. I have a subscription to lynda.com so I can do online tutorials. And I try out new assignments, and we see how they work. And the first time I do an assignment is not always a success, but you always learn something from it, and then you modify it, and you try it again. And this, I think that success is achieved much faster through failure than it is through playing it safe and doing the same thing year after year with curriculum. You know, a curriculum is it needs to evolve and grow, and that's the only way to make it better.
Do you think it's better to focus on, there's always a few kids that stick out, and regardless of the school they're at, they'll make it in their field one way or another. You think it's better to focus on those bright lights or point the whole curriculum towards the average? It's always best to strive for excellence, but then you leave behind people, which makes it a social issue, and it's not good either. So
I agree. And in the college I teach at, let me just to back up, the college I teach at is a state university. So most of the students are commuter students. A lot of them are first-generation students to go to college. And a lot of them are working, have jobs outside of school. Plus, because we're at a university, they have an unbelievable amount of critical studies that they're trying to juggle along with their design classes and their studios. So they've got a full load of responsibilities on them. So my answer to your question would be yes, we have to cater to all of them. But when I started teaching, I was team teaching with another faculty member who made this really amazing statement. He said, "We should judge ourselves by our worst students, not by our best. Because it's where we're failing that we're letting people down." And so I've always made it a priority to not leave the students who are struggling behind. Those are the students I have to work the hardest with. It's the better students that, in most cases, I better get out of their way and let them do what they're going to do. Otherwise, I'm going to mess it up.
Do you feel that age... I mean, you need to keep up to date with technology, but a lot of kids say, oh, as one grows older, you're less in touch with what is happening now. Do you think that, therefore...
And also less open to new technologies and new developments.
And do you think that also becomes a problem in teaching when you have a very old professor for a very young...
That's a dangerous question to answer because I don't want to... show any age prejudice. So I think the answer is it's personal in what one wants to learn. I think design is a personal pursuit, and each designer has different areas that they're very interested in. You know, we have older faculty in our department who are very interested in sustainability initiatives. So I wouldn't see that as being outdated or out of touch at all. It's just a different tract or a different area of looking at. And then we have other faculty who are interested in working with biologists and developing protein strains for type. So I think it all really depends on different faculties, different areas of interest, and in how they choose to pursue them.
Okay.
Did I answer the question?
Yeah. So not necessarily old, but if you remain open for developments and new technologies, then you're fine, basically.
I think it's all on interest and in the context of the interest and in where it leads you.
What is the best quality a designer can have?
Patience. Unbelievable amount of patience. I was teaching my Type 3 class last week, and I've been so disappointed with the output of the students. Not enough output, not enough examples. If I ask for 3 examples, I get 1. And I brought in some of my older work that I had done as an undergraduate student, which was in gouache and colored pencil, and how many prototypes in the process that it took, because the decisions are so deliberate when you have to work with a medium that is fixed. And what happens is they immediately go to the screen and start pushing boxes around on the screen. And that's exactly what it is. It's just pushing boxes around the screen. And I find it really hard to move them away from the computer and get them working with their hands and getting them building and getting them to try test after test of prototyping and prototyping, not necessarily interface prototyping, but physically if they need to make a book. Well, how many books do you need to make to finally come up with the book that you're going to make? And that's what I find is I want to see more patience and persistence with their process.
And how come you became a graphic? Why did you decide to become a graphic designer? What inspired you? Is it somebody in your family or?
Well, my dad actually has an associate's in graphic design, but he never practiced as a graphic designer. He was a machine draftsman. But he did have a bunch of type specimen books lying around the house. And when I was in high school, I used to pull out the type specimen books. And I don't know why I liked them. I couldn't really explain what it was about them that interested me. But it was something about looking at the individual characters and finding this beauty in them. And I did a lot of hand lettering for signage around my high school. And there was something about working with the brush and trying to copy these letter forms out of these type specimen books that I really liked focusing on the little details and in the forms. And I don't know, there was something about it that I didn't realize that there might have been a job to do this, or a career, I should say. And I was thinking of going into illustration, and I have an aunt who's an illustrator, so I showed her my portfolio, and she took one look at it and said, no, I don't think you want to go into illustration. I think you should pursue graphic design just based on looking at your work. So I definitely have her to thank.
But is there something else you could think of? If you weren't a graphic designer, is there something else you could do?
If I wasn't a graphic designer, is there something else I could do? I would do. Oh, there's so many things. Hairstylist, fashion designer, writer, fiction. I loved English, especially English literature. So, if I didn't make it as a designer, I might have studied English.
But you can still write, right? Yeah, maybe design writing, or I'm changing your profession now.
Right. Are you sure about this teaching? So, do you think you'll ever get back to the ad agency that you work at, like getting back into that business?
Not full time, no. Oh. It was, I did it as long as I felt like I needed to do it to prove myself as a faculty member. That's probably not the right way to think. But for me, I was at a studio for 7 years. It was 2 people and myself when it started. And when I left, we were about 7. And it was during the dot-com boom in America, so everybody was making lots of money. It was parties, and it was really quite unbelievable. And I had this gut feeling that it wasn't going to last. And I was also just feeling the burnout of working roughly anywhere between 60 to 80 hours a week on deadline. And I just had a gut feeling like it just wouldn't last forever. And I thought, you know, I think I really need to rethink what my direction is here, because I'm not sure that having all these clients as internet startups is really going to sustain the company I work for. And so I started applying to graduate school, and as soon as I got accepted, the bubble just burst. And you know, it was amazing that the company I worked for had to lay some people off. It was actually really sad to watch. I forget where I was going with this, but the point is
getting back to it now.
You know, it's funny. I'm still in contact with them, and actually, they made a joke that I'm like that I'm their silent PR partner because I'm currently vice president for AIGA Boston, which is the Association for Professional Design, which is an American sort of design guild, and we've been promoting certain studios on our website and sort of telling their stories through a blog, and they're one of the studios that I featured on the blog. So maybe getting back to them in different ways of ways that I can contribute without necessarily needing to be in the studio working.
You sort of started working with when the dot-com boom started. Now
yes.
We have a recession on our doorstep, a worldwide global recession that's going on right now. Do you think the kids that you teach today will be affected by that? And in what way?
Yeah.
And are they like less privileged than you were, like when you, because you lived through this boom?
Well, it's interesting because when I came out of school, it was the first Desert Storm. So we were in a recession when I graduated. Yeah. So it's almost like a mirror. I think they're going to be at a tremendous disadvantage when they get out of school. And I'm worried for them. I'm especially worried for the weaker students. And I have to keep asking them, is this really what you want to do? So how do we prepare them for this? Is that the question?
Mm-hmm.
I think trying to give them a really broad skill set so that they can take on different types of jobs. So giving them some knowledge of interactive media, motion literacy, which is really important, and print, so that when they move out into the field, if you look at a job description in America for graphic designers, it's unbelievable what they're asking for. They're essentially asking for designer and developer. And so you really have to give the students as much of the tools as possible so that when they get out, they can have some marketable skills and get an entry-level position as a junior designer.
Do you think sort of the design ethos or mentality changes over the year, or is it the same? I mean, I know the world become more complex, and we talk about that, but the fundamentals, are they the same? What you were taught in a ways of thinking, does that change also?
I think the fundamentals will always be there, but the context for teaching them will have to shift. So whereas, you know, the black square problem, which was a common assignment. I don't know if you ever used this assignment. It came out of a book called Visual Literacy, by Judith and Richard Wild. And essentially students are required to work with four black squares and through scale and position and composition, they have to sort of illustrate different words like tension, bold, playful. So there's sort of six different adjectives whereby they need to sort of illustrate these concepts through four black squares. I don't think that's a project that's ever going to go away in a visual language program or a foundational level class because it's teaching some really essential design vocabulary. But when we move up into sort of later years in undergraduate curriculum, like at a junior level or a senior level, well, how do we reinterpret tension? You know, how do we interpret tension in interface? How do we interpret tension with motion or time-based media? And so here is where you're using the same vocabulary, but the vocabulary starts to shift into different mediums. And then you have to talk about things like, well, you know, what is tension in interface design? Is it the way we click? Is it the way things move? It less becomes more about formal issues of design and more about experiential issues of design.
In what way do you think your new president will change the design education?
Oh, I don't
know. What effect will it have?
Well, he's obviously savvy because he had the most amazing marketing campaign. How will it change? I don't know yet. I think we're going to have to wait and see.
He knew his time phases quite well. I mean...
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't know yet. I think I'm going to have to wait and see. I have so many hopes, and I think I think if you talk to a lot of Americans, we're really hopeful, but we're sort of cautiously optimistic because there's so much work to be done. And 4 years isn't a lot of time. I'm hoping that there's more money poured into education, period. That's my big hope.
How would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered? I would like to best be remembered by my students, because they're really the generation that's going to change the world. So I would like to be remembered as a thoughtful, persistent, and dedicated educator.
So now to go back, when you say they're the generation that will change the world, do you not? Isn't that every generation?
Yeah.
Or do you have this particular one you think is different?
I guess how long I'm teaching. Yeah. All those generations.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Dive Radio. Now we're talking.